you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, a Star Wars story, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Kelly Anakin of KellyAnakin.com.
Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I love talking Star Wars with you guys.
Yeah, you said you were going to rewatch the whole movie in preparation for this. Did you in fact do that?
I did, in fact, rewatch the whole movie because I saw it once in 2016 and I really disliked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to it. I think I like it slightly better. We can get into, you know, more specifics when we get into the minutes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was pleased with my rewatch experience. I really enjoyed the things that I enjoyed.
All right. But only a little bit more than you originally did.
Yes. Although this was, you know, right. That was 4 years ago now.
Yeah. We're all different people.
Ish.
Then.
I guess more like three. It came out pretty late in the year.
Yeah, that's true. Three in a month.
Three in a month.
Three and change.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming back and discussing this movie that you could barely tolerate.
Yeah. You know, I'm here to bring the hot controversial takes.
Well, no minute is more controversial than minute 51. Minute 51 Ooh. Starts off with the V-Wing escaping from Jeddah while Saul looks on sadly.
And you're one wing off.
Oh, is it a, what did I say? Did
I say a V?
V-Wing. U-wing. Is there such a thing as a V-Wing?
I don't know. There's a flying V. That's a guitar though.
I was going to say, I think maybe you're just thinking of a goose.
Yeah,
it's or a bunch be the of first geese. Time. Yeah.
Always thinking of a bunch of geese.
Have you been playing Untitled Goose Game? I know that's kind of old now, but
no, I wanted to, but I don't think it's not on the iPhone, and that's the only place I play games. It looks fascinating.
We got to get you a Switch.
Is that new social network everyone's talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I thought it was something totally different.
We're gonna get you to Twitch on your Switch.
Well, that does happen a lot in Rogue One. So it ends a minute later with bits of Jedha being hurled out of the atmosphere into space after it has been attacked by the Death Star.
Mm.
So what is so controversial about this minute?
No, it does nothing. I just need to segue.
Okay. I was like, are people mad because of space debris? Unlikelihood of the U-Wing, you know, escaping from Jeddah without getting exploded?
Let's just say, if it's not controversial to you, then you should be thankful for your privilege.
And I am. I'll check it. I'll check my privilege.
Okay. There you go.
Nice.
Well, I'll check my privilege and my kyber crystals. As I was instructed before we began recording.
Mm-hmm. They wreak havoc with the equipment.
Yeah. Get that little like on the line.
Yep.
What I have a question for the panel. Do you think there are other people inside Saw's hideout? right now, because as we see people kind of filing out and we see Saw standing there, like it almost looks like stuff is moving around in the background. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there are still people hanging out. We assumed that, you know, Borgullet might be in there still.
Oh, that's a bummer for Borgullet. Like, Borgullet really had a cool thing going, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you think?
Yeah, I mean, psychic squids, they're not just for Watchmen anymore.
Yeah, I guess as long as just I don't know if it's hard to tell how Boar feels about it. You know, is this like the equivalent of like a chimpanzee on the end of a 6-foot chain that, you know, some drug dealer bought when he was a little baby and now he's like, oh, look, I have this big animal in my house. Or is it there willingly?
I don't know. My assumption was that Borgullet was there willingly. I don't know why. I really just was getting a sense that Borgullet felt very like good about his skills.
Yeah. You mean the skills of reading people's minds or driving them crazy or whatever?
Well, and knowing, I feel like if you had, like, if that was a skill that you had,
yeah,
and Borgullet didn't want to be there, why wouldn't Borgullet just like make Saw Gerrera lose his mind?
And that would be a good way to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Although walking across that desert, that can't be easy for a slimy thing like Boar.
True.
Right.
I just assume that Borgullet hates the Empire.
I picture being neutral.
Interesting.
Maybe he tried that once. That's why Saw is kind of loopy. Like he tried to do it and then got like, you know, 50 feet and he's like, oh, this desert is terrible. I'm going back into my nice little cave that I had then. I didn't even know what I, you know, looking a gift horse in the mouth. I gotta go hang out there.
Hey guys, I know we all said a lot of things in the heat of the moment, but I think maybe we can work this out.
You guys didn't rent out my cave yet, did you?
You know how much it is to rent a cave on Jeddah?
Imagine being the poor person who has to move into Borgullet's old room.
God, everything's so sticky.
It's like, what's the name? What's the lodger in Clockwork Orange when he comes back home and that guy, like the big muscle guy, is renting out his room?
Oh, right.
That's what it's like.
I think that you think that was a tribute to that? You think that was a reference to?
Yeah. Yeah, this whole scene is a tribute to Clockwork Orange.
Absolutely. I mean, this whole movie is just littered with Clockwork Orange Easter eggs.
Yeah. Right. Orange Easter.
I gotta give it to old Saw. He faces his doom with a stiff upper lip and all that. He detaches himself from his breathalyzer machine and just kind of faces it head on. I would be much more like wincing and being like, "Oh God, here it comes! It's gonna hurt so much." You know, I'd be I wouldn't go down gracefully.
Right.
I mean, I think if you just look at Saw Gerrera, you're like, this is a man who's been through some things.
Yeah.
He has experienced tremendous pain before. And I've had a very stressful week this week. So looking at him in this moment, I was like, I get it, man. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I give up. I have fought too hard and too long. I don't have a breathing apparatus, but... I would be ready to take it off.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what you said, Pete. First, when you first saw it, you were like, why doesn't he go with them? Why doesn't he run? And now you're like, I can see what he means.
I'm like, I'm old and tired. I get it.
Although he'd run all the way to the ship.
I think he's such a great character with such great character design. Mm-hmm. And to me, basically up until this point, like everything that revolves around Saw Gerrera in this movie is so reminiscent of a horror film in a way that I don't think almost any other Star Wars property has achieved. Like, everything on Jeddah is so scary and uncertain. And even, you know, even our heroes who are going to become, you know, the Rogue One Squadron, there's nobody that I feel sure of up until this point. Mm-hmm. And I love this character. I think he's great.
I go back and forth on Saw, like a Saw, but I guess I see Saw on Saw.
I can see that.
So
yeah, literally, it's been like minute by minute. Some minutes I'm like, oh yeah, I like him here, and then other minutes I'm like, I'm not feeling this character.
But, yeah, I think I just find him to be very effective, which I feel like sounds like damning with faint praise. But I think Whitaker does such a great job performing as this character, and the character is so ambivalent and kind of ambiguous. That's the word I'm looking for. Maybe also ambivalent, but in a way, because Star Wars is a universe that exists in such shades of black and white so much of the time. And so here's this guy who's philosophically aligned with the good guys, but who engages in some pretty monstrous practices.
We're told.
And it's this sort of like very dark shade of gray that we don't generally get into in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true for the Rebels, and I also think it's true for, this is the movie that kind of revealed the inter-office squabbles of the Empire. The fact that, you know, they're all on the same side, but the fact that Krennic and Tarkin are kind of, having this kind of like power struggle, it also added a shade to the Empire side as well.
Yeah, I really think of this as the office space of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, can see that. So yeah, this is the end of this is the end of Saw Gerrera. Do you you said you liked Forest Whitaker? Have you liked him in other projects?
Yeah, I have. I'm like, what else have I seen him in? I always enjoy him, and I also have a lot of respect for him being somebody who has, you know, some facial irregularities, who's become this like very famous, successful actor. You know, to me, that's just like, wow, you really like turned it to 11 in such an image based profession.
Yeah, he made a bug a feature, right?
Exactly.
Is poor Gullet the bug?
Poor Gullet's the bug.
No. Poor Gullet's a cephalopod.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we get to see more shots of the U-Wing flying away from all the raining debris, which I think looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, yeah.
Now, I was just thrilled that I got to talk about some explosions. Mm-hmm. In the past, you know, I have not had very explosion-y scenes. I think we had, when I was talking about Force Awakens, there might have been a bit of the explosion of Poe's ship. But this is like, I mean, we're really in the thick of it, both plot-wise and explosion-wise.
What do you think? Do you think it's a good explosion?
I love this explosion. This is such a great explosion. I love the shot of, you know, all of the smoke and debris leaving the surface of the planet and reaching up toward the Death Star. I might make it my computer desktop image is how much I liked it.
But it's so vertical, though.
It was extremely vertical, so I am going to have to probably do some tiling. I'm going to get creative with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or put the monitor on the side.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, I have one of those sort of like switchy laptops where it can be a tablet, it can be a laptop, so I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah.
Just spin it around randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess theoretically from space, there's no real, up is no real direction, so you can really have it go anyway.
Hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll just, you know, whatever, you know, I'll put it on its side and I'll just be like, oh, it's art. I'm making a statement.
Well, speaking of big explosions, I have some information here on the biggest nuclear bomb ever detonated on Earth. It was October 30th, 1961, when the USSR detonated the Tsar bomb.
Tsar bomb.
Tsar, and this is TSAR, not CZAR.
Did they name it the Tsar bomb?
Yes, I think in Russia it's actually like Tsar Bomba. So
Tsar Bomba,
Tsar Bomba.
So yes, it was a 50 megaton bomb, and to put that in perspective, the biggest bomb the U.S. ever did was 15 megatons. So this was like three times the size of the biggest bomb that the U.S. had ever done. The cloud, the mushroom cloud, is 42 miles high, 59 miles across, and if you were within 62 miles of it, you got third-degree burns.
Wow.
62 miles. That's like, that's crazy. So anyway, I wonder if the people on Jeddah must have suffered similar before they got swallowed up by the earth. I guess they were probably a lot of
yeah. I was gonna say I'm pretty sure they died.
Yeah. Well, it depends on
whatever
where they were,
suffered. I don't think it was terribly long, or at least I hope it wasn't.
Yeah.
That would not be a pleasant place to kind of like teeter between life and death.
We were discussing it last week. If you had to be in the, if you had to be near Jeddah while this was happening, would you want to be right in the center of it, or like would you want to be on the outskirts? Or you could apply this to Earth too. Like if there was a mm-hmm. nuclear bomb going off, how far away or close would you want to be?
If a Tsar Bomba went off today,
right?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yo, Tsar Bomba went off.
I think I would want to be in the center. I think
you want instant.
Yeah, like just like the less, because you know I struggle with anxiety on a non-nuclear weapon day. So mm-hmm. really, the least possible amount of time I have to think about my impending vaporization, the better.
So preferably, you'd be asleep, and it would be dropped right on your home.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty great.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, adjusted for a horrible thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not getting exploded.
Making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah. I guess the only winning move is not to play.
Speaking of directions, as we were mm-hmm. a little while ago.
directions.
Speaking of directions, I have a point of order here with the...
Yes.
When they pile into the U-Wing mm-hmm. and Cassian says, punch it, but then they pull the lever.
He says punch it there too?
He says punch it, yeah?
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to make fetch happen.
Oh, they say punch it twice, yeah.
Yeah, because he says punch it again later on when he's talking
about it. Just get us out of here, punch it. And then he says, I'm not very optimistic about our role. That's not okay, come on, punch it. And then that's in this one. He says, punch it. And then he says, I haven't completed my calculation.
Yeah.
And then, there's multiple other things here, but I just wanted to talk about the difference between punching it and then pulling a lever after you say punch it. Seems like punching it, you should be pushing in, not pulling down, but that's the... Or what is it? You should be punching up, not punching down.
Maybe it means something different in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe it's like a big hole punch, and then when he's pulling on it, it's putting a hole in the canister filled with fuel.
Or maybe it's like
one of those when you have a can of like a can of juice, and you use the thing to go.
Oh. And right, yeah. Yeah, like juicy juice.
I often think of space travel. Much like opening a can of juice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like letting the air out of a balloon.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think that kind of what we haven't seen and maybe wind up on the cutting room floor is that Cassian just like is trying to make this catchphrase his thing.
Right.
And he just is like, yeah, every possible situation. I mean, you know, maybe they aren't going to make it out. He's got to get one more in, you know, before he goes.
Oh man, I would love if a movie did something like that where a character was trying to make a phrase catch on and kept using it, but no one else commented on it. Because, you know, obviously there's other times where people have been like, why do you keep saying that? Like, is that your new catchphrase? But have no one like respond to it at all, except maybe like a discreet eye roll when he tries to say punch it again. Oh, did you see us back there on Jeddah? We totally punched it.
I feel like it's a bolder choice to just have nobody react at all.
Yeah.
The audience is providing their own eye roll.
I think we should go in and edit in one more. Him saying punch it, like when they're on the beach at the end, right before they get exploded at the very end of the movie. of just that beautiful, like, him and Jin on the beach, like, as the world's about to end, and they're hugging, and he should just say, punch it.
He should also say, punch it, right before K2SO slaps him on the when they're being interrogated by the Imperials.
Well, speaking of K2SO and Cassian and their interactions, I wrote nerd when, because K2SO, they're like, all right, you know, like, punch it. Like, I haven't completed my calculations. Like, I had a hard time saying that in not a nerd voice, like trying to say it just like in the fairly straightforward way that he said it. Yeah. But he's like, that's like if you wanted to write nerd dialogue, like, I haven't completed my calculations is the nerdiest nerd you could nerd, probably.
Yeah. There's no way to say that and sound cool.
Right.
I haven't completed my calculations.
And then
Cassian responds, and there are three. I feel like the way that he responds in a very breathy, kind of quiet way that sounds either like he's going to kill him, like I haven't completed my calculations, like, I'll make them for you, like. He should shoot him in the face next, or
like that's his hook right before he blows him away.
Right. Or
calculations.
Or he could kiss him. I'll make them for you, and he kisses him. Then there's like a nice romantic swell. Or since it is the nerdiest thing that you could say, he should stuff him in a locker. Like, yeah, I'll make them for you, and just shove him in a locker, and then activate the hyperdrive
without even looking, which is pretty much what he does.
Yeah,
I have to say it's one of my favorite line readings in this whole movie, and I have never been more attracted to Diego Luna than when he says, then I'll make them for you. I'm like, yes. I'm like, what do you want? I'll do it.
So you're more in that second column there, the kissing
column.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I'm so in that column. I'm like, yeah, this nerd stuff, fine. But yeah. let's focus on the hotness.
Yeah. You're like, well, I haven't completed my calculations either. Hee-hee.
Can you help me with my calculations?
Math is hard.
Have you seen him in other things, Kelly? Cassian?
I honestly don't know.
And he was in Narcos, right? That was his big thing? Or is that my thing of The Mandalorian?
You're thinking of The Mandalorian. That's okay. Pedro Pascal in Narcos. Right. Okay. Was Diego Luna's big thing? Was it The Motorcycle Diaries?
He was in that. He was in Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Which I never saw.
Wasn't he in The Motorcycle Diaries? Wait, no, I thought he was. Now I'm looking it up.
I know we had this exact
same conversation 6 weeks ago.
I'm like messing everything up. Gael Garcia Bernal was in The Motorcycle Diaries, I think.
Oh, it looked like he's not. Okay.
You guys are so racist.
No, yeah. I know. I'm like, this is not reflecting well on any of us.
Oh, obviously, Dirty Dancing, please, Havana Nights. That's the thing that we're all remembering.
Please edit all of this out.
We
never talked about Diego Luna. He's, we don't even know what's happening.
Weirdly, he was in this movie called Mr. Lonely, which is a Harmony Korine?
Oh, yeah. Xenia Ohio's own Harmony Korine.
Where he plays Michael Jackson.
What? Well, do you think it's the Michael Jackson, or is this an Office Space thing where...
No, yeah, it looks Michael like the movie's about, it's, let's see, a young man living in Paris scratches out a living as a Michael Jackson lookalike, dancing on the streets, public parks, tourist spots, and trade shows.
Oh, so he's an impersonator.
Yeah, he plays a Michael Jackson impersonator.
Okay, but he doesn't play Michael Jackson.
I would like to see that now.
Yes, that does sound intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay, I did see him in Frida, but I didn't know who he was at the time.
Oh, interesting. I also saw Frida, but did not know him from that.
And he was in Flatliners?
Not the original one.
No, not the original, the remake, which I watched like 30 minutes of until the group I was with decided it was a bad movie and we weren't going to keep watching it.
Right.
Sorry, Diego.
I can't imagine. I find it hard to believe that they remade Flatliners.
They did. It happened.
Weird. Anyway,
is it also weird or is it hard to believe? Because those are not mutually exclusive.
No, I think it's both, though. I don't know. I have a weird soft spot for the original Flatliners. It's something that I watched on video a couple of times, but I don't think it's terrific, and I don't think it should be. Like, there are other things that I would imagine people would be lining up to remake first. But who knows?
Why didn't they consult you?
I know. I'd be like, guys, you know, I mean, I'm touched. I like that one, but it's not going to be a big hit.
I would subscribe to your YouTube channel where you talk about what movies should get remade and right. not remade.
I'm down on remakes in general now. I think, you know, Lego sequels and stuff, and you know, and kind of hand off, you know, like next generation kind of style projects. I'm all about that, but
okay,
no remakes.
Fun fact: I'm looking up other actors so we can avoid being racist in the future. And Riz Ahmed is playing Hamlet in a new adaptation of Hamlet.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, that's neat.
I like him.
Are you
too.
Against a remake of Hamlet?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're just trying to pretend that, you know, the other ones don't exist now. Like, I'm supposed to just forget that Mel Gibson was Hamlet.
This is, well, we try. no, I mean, this is pretty much actually how I felt about the new Little Women movie. I was like, again?
Right.
Still? And I'm even a Little Women fan, but I was just like, I don't think we need this, do we?
When was the last one? Wasn't Winona Ryder in the last one?
So that was the last one that had a theatrical release. In between there, there's like been a musical. There's been, I think, two separate TV miniseries. Uh-huh. And then there was also a contemporary adaptation, which I didn't see because I was just like, no. Yeah. Anyway, and as a noted Amy Marge apologist, I went to see this one pretty much only because Florence Pugh was playing Amy March, secondarily because Bob Odenkirk was playing Mr. March. Anyway, that's a whole separate podcast. So please, everybody, subscribe to my podcast, Little Women Minute, where I watch every single Little Women adaptation 1 minute at a time.
Wow. Now, you're saying that as if it's the most absurd idea in the world, but just to double check, are you joking about this or is this a real thing?
I am joking about this, but now that I have joked about it, I'm going to get at least 10 tweets or DMs from people insisting that I do this.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
And I will look down and whisper, no.
Maybe you could do it with like one, if there's so many adaptations, maybe you could just do one adaptation of it. Like each episode is one of the movies.
Potentially, but that's still a lot of work. I would like produce this if I didn't have to do any of the actual work for it.
You would listen to it, is what you're saying.
No. If I could find a way to monetize it for very minimal effort, I would do it.
Okay.
Which is Amy is my favorite.
All right, everyone. So if you're interested in producing or I guess executive producing a Little Women podcast, let us know. We'll put you in touch with Kelly.
Yeah. And we'll find some suckers to record it for us.
There you go. Also, I just want to point out that the obviously iconic version of Hamlet that everybody should be familiar with is the TV movie version from 2000 starring Campbell Scott as Hamlet. Because my father-in-law is the gravedigger in that one. So,
oh my God, that's amazing.
That's the that's obviously the nobody's going to get better than that. So stop remaking Hamlet because you'd be.
I was going to say I didn't know either of those facts. A, that that was a thing, or B, that your father-in-law was in it.
That's like the title of your memoirs. My father-in-law was the gravedigger.
My father-in-law, my gravedigger.
Well, so speaking of graves, why don't we bury minute 51? Anyone else got anything else to say about that one before we move on to some Krennic action tomorrow?
No, that's all I had, pretty much.
No, yeah, I gotta get Krennic ready.
All right. Listeners, thank you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, go to moviesbyminutes.com. Check out the extensive listing of movies that are being covered minute by minute through various podcasts. What is it up to now, Pete? 130 or something like that?
More than that. It was like 140 something last time I checked, I think.
Ridiculous.
As of this recording, there are currently 148.
Oh, Kelly, 150's got to be Little Women.
No, I was going to say, I could bring it up to an even 150.
All right, so one more person sign up, and then Kelly will do the...
Yeah, you sign up, and then tell me, and then I'll sign up.
Yeah, so plenty of good podcasts there to check out. And
oh, wow. There are a whole bunch of ones that I haven't even... I'm not even aware of. Look at that.
Like what?
That's great. Like Before Sunrise and Hocus Pocus. And
wow.
There's ones in different languages that are... This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like some of the movies that we didn't see Diego Luna in?
No, I mean the it's movies that we're familiar with, but the podcast is in a different language, it looks
oh,
like.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Kelly, you want to plug your podcast while you're here?
Yeah, I mean, so I think this is news since I was on last. I don't have any podcasts going on right now currently.
What?
What does that feel
I know.
Like?
It's pretty crazy. We ended Up Yours Downstairs in 2018. And we decided after the third season of The Handmaid's Tale that we weren't going to do Red All Over anymore. All of the back catalog is still there. If you want to hear recaps of Up Yours Downstairs, Peaky Blinders, Victoria, every project about the Titanic ever, or The Handmaid's Tale or other Margaret Atwood properties, those are all available.
Isn't there one more season left?
Of The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we did not like the show anymore. Mm-hmm. And my experience with Downton Abbey was that we kept going and going and going, even though we didn't like the show anymore. And it wound up being a really soul-crushing experience for us and the listeners. Mm. So it was just kind of like, let's quit while we're ahead. Like, we got to interview Bruce Miller, who's the showrunner. And it was like, well, like, we kind of aren't going to top that. Like, I don't think Elizabeth Moss is going to come on. Mm-hmm. And that would be the only get that we didn't get.
Wow. Mm. Well, yeah, I applaud you for doing that, being able to walk away from it.
Yeah.
Thank you. 2020 is the year of no for me. I'm not taking on new stuff.
Oh, now I feel extra glad we got you.
Yeah.
I always say yes to Star Wars Minute.
And Little Women.
Quit it.
Okay, everyone. See you tomorrow on Star Wars.
Star Wars Minute.